You are at a crossroads in your life. As a matter of fact, you're at a crossroads every day. And that in part is what we gain from what the Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. He knew that at any time he could make the wrong decision. And although he had preached the gospel and thousands and perhaps millions upon millions of people have been saved, he himself could be lost. He could be disqualified. Therefore, every one of us stand at the crossroads today. You may stand at a major crossroads in life or a minor one. You may be on the right road, but you're crossing over another road. You could take the wrong path, make the wrong decision, yet you're still at a crossroads. And so I want to talk about being at this crossroads today. It prepares us for other lessons that we're studying tonight as we want to talk more about personal evangelism. This is a crossroads for us, the things that we're going to do in our life, the changes we'll make to better be able to accomplish these things in our life. And as we get ready to start a new year, I don't know if you are one that likes New Year's resolutions. I don't, because I don't keep them, so I don't make them. But I try to make resolutions throughout my life as I realize the things I need to change, and certainly there are things we all need to change. What will you think about on your deathbed? What are you going to be thinking about on your deathbed? Let me suggest to you from 1 Kings chapter 1, the King David was thinking about his relationship with God. He was not thinking about his material wealth, although he was very wealthy. He was not thinking about his material kingdom, although it was great. He was concerned with spiritual things. 1 Kings chapter 1, verse 1. Now King David was old, advanced in years, and they covered him with clothes, but he could not keep warm. So his servant said to him, Let them seek a young virgin for my lord the king, and let her attend the king and become his nurse, and let her lie in your bosom, that my lord the king may keep warm. And chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. As David's time to die drew near, he charged Solomon his son, saying, I am going the way of all the earth. Be strong, therefore, and show yourself a man. Keep the charge of the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, to keep his statutes, his commandments, his ordinance, and his testimonies, according to what is written in the law of Moses, that you may succeed in all that you do and wherever you turn, so that the Lord may carry out his promise which he spoke concerning me, saying, if your sons are careful of their way, to walk before me in truth with all their heart and with all their soul, you shall not lack a man on the throne of Israel. David was concerned about spiritual things, not the physical things. Think about the Apostle Paul. Turn your Bibles with me over to 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4, as he sees the end of his life quickly approaching. And here he says this, beginning in verse 7, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. In the future there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing. The Apostle Paul was not concerned about the physical things. He was not concerned about worldly things. He was not concerned about fleshly things. He was concerned about spiritual things. And turn your Bibles back to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3 and beginning in verse 7. Philippians chapter 3 beginning in verse 7. The Apostle Paul could say that he gave all. He says this, but whatever things were gained to me, those things I have counted as loss for the sake of Christ. More than that, I count all things to be lost in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, from whom I suffered the loss of all things, and count them but rubbish, so that I may gain Christ, and may be found in Him, not having a righteousness of my own derived from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which comes from God on the basis of faith, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being conformed to His death, in order that I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. The Apostle Paul wasn't interested in fleshly things and worldly things. He was interested in spiritual things. and think about your life. What will be your proudest accomplishment as you close your eyes in death? What will be your proudest accomplishment? What will you reflect upon and think has been the important things of life? Think about Dennis and Jerry, our elders. What do you think they'll be thinking about? Do you think they'll be thinking about their homes and their cars and their businesses and things such as this? Or do you think they'll be thinking about the fact that they were Christians and raised faithful families and worked as elders and helped people serve God and be saved? I could not help but think about Miss Polly, although I didn't talk to her about this, and think about what she would think would be important in life as she closed her eyes in death. And just hearing her talk and speaking with her upon occasions, I'm convinced she would be thinking about the fact that she was a Christian and raised a faithful family and helped Brother Phillips, and sacrificed during her lifetime to work a secular job so that searching the Scriptures could travel out throughout the world and millions upon millions benefits. Miss Polly, I may be wrong, but that's sort of what I think. And how about you? If you died today, what would you be thinking about? What would you be proudest of? These are the things that are truly important to you. And what does this tell you about your life? Who on his deathbed is remorseful of leaving physical wealth behind? Not even the most sinful. That's my experience. Everyone wants to draw close to God when they close their eyes in death. Unfortunately, many close their eyes in death far, far away from God. What will be your situation? Perhaps you'll be thinking, I'm going home to be with God. Turn your Bibles to John chapter 16. John chapter 16, and here is Jesus as he is approaching his death. As a matter of fact, this is the evening before his death upon the cross. And in John chapter 16, he tells the apostles this in verse 28. I came forth from the Father, and I have come into the world. I am leaving the world again and going to the Father. That's what Jesus was thinking about. I'm going to be with my Father. Turn your Bibles over to Philippians chapter 1, and let's talk about the Apostle Paul for just a moment. As he contemplated death, as he contemplated which was better, to remain here upon the earth and to do the work that he was doing or to die. And indeed, he was ready to die and to go and be with the Lord, but it was advantageous for him to stay upon the earth. In verse 21, Philippians 1:21, for to me to live is Christ and to die is gain. But if I am to live on in the flesh, this will mean fruitful labor for me, and I do not know which to choose. But I am hard pressed from both directions, having the desire to depart and be with Christ, for that is very much better. Yet to remain on in the flesh is more necessary for your sake. The Apostle Paul knew that it would be a great thing to leave the earth and to be with the Lord. And he was looking forward to that, and knew that that would be great gain. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, the Apostle Paul teaches about this transformation when we put off the mortal and put on the immortal. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 1, for we know that if the earthly tent, which is our house, is torn down, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For indeed in this house we groan, longing to be clothed with our dwelling from heaven, inasmuch as we, having put it on, will not be found naked. For indeed while we are in this tent we groan, being burdened, because we do not want to be unclothed, but to be clothed, so that what is mortal will be swallowed up by life. Now he has prepared us for this very purpose, is God, who gave to us the Spirit as a pledge. Therefore, being always of good courage and knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord, for we walk by faith, not by sight. We are of good courage, I say, and prefer rather to be absent from the body and to be present at home with the Lord. When you close your eyes in death, you're probably going to be thinking about the fact that you're going to be with the Lord. And not to get into the different eschatological views that exist within religion today, whether it is we go to a place of paradise to resurrect and be judged and then to be with the Lord, or some think that we die and we are present with the Lord immediately upon our death. But whatever it may be, we will be in this place of paradise. We will be in this place of rest, and in view of eternity, the time we may spend before we are with the Lord is but a twinkle of the eye. And so indeed we may look upon it as being that of when we close our eyes in death, we will be with the Lord. What do you hear people often do at the end of their life? You often hear them talk to God. And you often hear them telling that they are coming home to be with Him. What will you think about when you close your eyes in death? I care about God and my relationship with Him. I do not care about money and possessions and social status. I just want to go home and be with the Lord. Well, what are some things you don't want to be thinking about? Turn your Bibles over to Matthew chapter 27, and I doubt any of us want to be like Judas. Judas was remorseful at his death. Perhaps some are sorry that they ever lived. Perhaps some are sorry that they wasted their life. And I do not want to come to the end of life and be sorry that I lived, and be sorry that I wasted my life. In Matthew chapter 27, verse 1, "Now one morning came all the chief priests and the elders of the people conferred together against Jesus to put Him to death. And they bound Him and led Him away and delivered Him to Pilate, the governor. Then when Judas, who had betrayed Him, saw that He had been condemned, he felt remorse and returned the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, saying, 'I have sinned by betraying innocent blood.' But they said, 'What is that to us? See to that yourself.' And he threw the pieces of silver into the temple sanctuary and departed, and he went away and hanged himself." He was so remorseful and so sorry of the things that he had done and the life that he lived, he went out and hung himself. I do not want to get to the end of life and be sorry for the life that I've lived and be remorseful for the life that I've lived. Sorry that I ever walked the face of this earth. What else do I not want to say at the end of life? Turn over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. I do not want to say that I know I will not be with Jesus in the resurrection. I do not want to come to the end of life and know that Jesus Christ is coming again to gather up the saints when He appears again in the air, and I will not be there. I do not want to lay upon my deathbed and know that Jesus may come minutes after I close my eyes in death, and I will not be there with Him. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 14. "For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with Him those who have fallen asleep in Jesus." I don't know about you. I want to know and believe that I am falling asleep in Jesus. Verse 15. "For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord Himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so we shall always be with the Lord. I do not want to close my eyes in death knowing that I'm going to miss the coming of Jesus Christ. I do not want to be laying on my deathbed and know that any moment I'm going to be passing over into the next life, and know that when my loved ones in Christ are assembled together with Jesus in the air, I will not be there with them. Turn your Bibles over to 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, and beginning in verse 6. I do not want to be on my deathbed realizing that Jesus Christ is coming again to bring retribution to those who do not obey the gospel. Verse 6. For after all, it is only just for God to repay with affliction those who afflict you, and to give relief to you who are afflicted, and to us as well, when the Lord Jesus will be revealed from heaven with His mighty angels in flaming fire, dealing out retribution to those who do not know God and to those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus. I do not want to be on my deathbed thinking about missing the coming of Jesus Christ. That after I close my eyes in death and I go to the other side, that I will not be one of those whom He brings back with Him in the resurrection. As I lay upon my deathbed, I do not want to know that I'm going to hell. And I remember one of the most staggering thoughts in my whole life. Someone asked me, "What's going to happen to you if you die today?" I told them, "I'm going to hell. I'm going to hell." Because I knew I was not right with God, and I knew the result of that, and I do not ever want that to happen again, and I do not want to be on my deathbed telling myself, "I know I'm going to hell." Think about Ananias and Sapphira. I wonder if they thought about anything shortly before they died. I wondered if they thought about the fact that they were Christians, faithful to the Lord. They had just sold some land and made a great sacrifice, but they told one single lie. Perhaps the life was sucked out of their bodies. Perhaps they had 5 seconds to think, "One lie cost me my soul, I'm going to hell." I do not want to be laying on my life, on my deathbed, reflecting back on my life and think about one lie that cost me eternal life in heaven. Have you ever thought about being in a car wreck and lying on the ground dying, knowing that you're going to die at any moment? And having a few moments to reflect upon your life, and perhaps the EMTs are there working to keep you alive, and there are the lights on and the lights are flashing and people are screaming and yelling and blood is everywhere, and perhaps you can smell the stench of death as blood is all about. And you have just a moment to reflect back upon your life as you lie there and you know you're going to die. I do not want to think that I had had so many chances to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ and to be baptized into Jesus Christ, but I did not do it. I do not want to reflect back laying upon the ground with blood all around, with the lights flashing and people yelling and trying to save my life, but I know it's not going to be saved. And I think back to the one event in my life for which I did not repent. Or I think back upon the one thing I never corrected with God, and I die knowing that I'm going to hell. I know that we cannot control everything in our lives, but I do not want to think back as I lie upon my deathbed knowing that I could have helped my children be faithful Christians and obey God, but I didn't do it. I do not want to be on my deathbed thinking back to the opportunities I squandered with my children. And I know that we cannot control everything in our lives. And I know that we make mistakes and we have to deal with those things. We have to do the best that we can do as we work through those things. But I do not want to be on my deathbed and think that I squandered one opportunity to help my children go to heaven. I do not want to be on my deathbed and know that I'm going to hell and right now my children are going to hell. I do not want to be in a car wreck with all of my family thinking I'm going to hell and every one of them are going to hell, and in part it's because of me. It's one thing for me to go to hell, but for the rest of my family to go to hell because of me, in part, is that much worse. And so, young people, be careful as you have your life before you. Be careful whom you choose to marry, whom you choose to have a family with, and what you choose to do as adults so that you do not get to a point in your life when you reflect back. Even if you yourself think that you were saved, knowing that you've not helped your children, and they at that moment are lost. I do not want to have any regrets. None. Am I regretful of the things I've done wrong? Yes, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. I'm sorry for that. I'm sorry for the mistakes that I've made. And I can only go from this day forward to do what is right. But when I close my eyes in death, I do not want to have any regrets. I do not want to say, I wish I would have. You fill in the blank. I do not want to get to the end of my life and say, I should have. You fill in the blank. I do not want to get to the end of my life and say, I knew I'd have regrets, but I did it anyway. I do not want to get to the end of my life and say, I knew this was going to happen. I knew I was going to think this when I died. I knew I was going to feel this way when I died, but I did it anyway. I don't want to do that. I do not want to get to the end of my life and say, I had time to make it right, but I didn't. But I didn't. I do not want to get to the end of my life and say, I wasted my life. I could have done so much good, but I squandered it. Even as a Christian, I squandered my life. I could have done so much more. But I did a fraction of what I could have done. I could have done so much good. I could have helped so many people. But I was so bogged down in my own life and enjoyment of the physical that I helped only a very few when I could have helped many. And I do not want to get to the end of my life and think, I did the worst thing I could ever do to my kids. I didn't teach them about God. What can we do to make sure this never happens? Simply put, love God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Do you love God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength with everything? Not with just a portion. Turn your Bibles with me over to 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. And of course, throughout this epistle, all five chapters, The Apostle John is telling us whereby we may know that we are saved, that we're going to heaven, that we have eternal life. And beginning in verse 17, by this love is perfected with us, so that we may have confidence in the day of judgment, because as He is, so also are we in the world. There is no fear in love, but perfect fear. Perfect love casts out fear. Because fear involves punishment, but the one who fears is not perfected in love. Love God with all that you have, all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and you will not have one regret at the time of your death. You will not be afraid. You will not have any fear. You will not look back and say, I'm sorry I ever lived. You will not look back and say, I coulda, but I didn't. You will not look back and say, I know I shouldn't, but I did it anyway. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 3, for this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not burdensome. And how many times doing the will of God, how many times is it a burden that we do not overcome it, that we cannot bring ourselves? I'm not talking about being baptized. I'm not even talking about going to church. I'm talking about the other things we neglect because we're too busy sitting in front of the TV. That's what I'm talking about. I do not want to get to my death and say, because I was a couch potato in front of the TV, I didn't do what I knew I should do. You see, we all stand at the crossroads today, and every day is a crossroad. Every day is a crossroads. Which road are you going to take? And the fact of the matter is this, that all of us, make a decision every day which road to take. Because every one of us can take the road that makes us a better Christian today. Doesn't matter how long you've been a Christian. Doesn't matter what you've done in the past. We can take the road that makes us a better Christian today. And are you doing that? What will you do at the crossroads? Are you doing that? I want to resolve within myself to take a better path every day. And I want you to make the same resolution. And perhaps now is a good time to do it, because 2006 is winding down and 2007 is winding up. What will you do? What will you do? What will you think? When you're laying in the bed or laying on the ground, know you're going to die any moment. What will you think? Let's all make some changes. I am resolved we're going to sing the gospel invitation. If you're not a Christian or if you're not faithful to the Lord, you can make that change today. We invite you to step to the front as we stand and sing.